on September 5, 2006, National Polygamy Advocate Mark Henkel was on Court TV Morning Radio with Vinny Politan on Sirius 110.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. It's Mark from Court TV Radio.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good. I hope your holiday was good.
It was, and yours?
Oh, yeah. Always good when you have a day off, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Okay, you're going to be on with Vinny Politan.
Right.
And we're with you in about 4 minutes.
Okay.
About 3 minutes. Right now we're going into commercial break. You're not going to hear anything.
Sure.
But we are here, and we're looking forward to having you on.
Sounds great.
Great. Hang on.
Thanks now.
Thanks.
Vinny Politan reveals just what's under the robe.
Well, nothing. There's nothing under the robe.
On Court TV Morning, Sirius 110.
Like a hairless pig, really.
All right, Mr. Jess, you're being held as a fugitive, and there are two fugitive holds for you, one from Utah, one from Arizona. You have the right to demand that a formal warrant of extradition be issued and served upon you. You have the right to apply for a review of the legality of your arrest and confinement that is referred in legal terminology to a writ of habeas corpus. You're going to be held without bail during this fugitive process. Okay? You can shorten that 90-day plus time by waiving extradition rights, the rights that I just explained to you. If you waive those rights, the state of Arizona and Utah would have a maximum of 30 days to come get you. I don't think it's going to take them that long. Also, I think between the states of Arizona and Utah, they have worked out an arrangement so that if you waive extradition, you're going to be going to Utah first. So you should be aware of that. Now, do you understand everything I just explained?
Yes.
Okay, what would you like to do?
Go ahead.
You want to ask them to have an extradition and go back as quickly as they can have the, if they can come pick you up?
Yes.
All right.
So there you have it. Warren Jeffs, no longer a fugitive from justice, no longer on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He's in custody. All that happened last week in Nevada will now be extradited to Utah to face charges. Warren Jeffs, the leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, an offshoot of Mormons. He's not a Mormon, folks. He's kind of one of those offshoots. It was like 100 years ago this Fundamentalist Church was started. And they still believe in polygamy. They believe in it. Mormons do not believe in polygamy anymore. It's illegal in Utah. It's not part of their church, not part of their beliefs anymore, any longer, okay? Let's distinguish that right off the top. In case there's any Mormons listening, they get very touchy about that. We're not polygamists. We're Mormons. All right. We got that clear. So this guy's the leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's been caught now. Now, he's not being charged with himself marrying young girls. He is being accused of arranging and forcing the marriage of young girls, making young girls submit to the will of older men. And specifically, in an affidavit that's been filed in the court by prosecutors, there's a girl who was between the ages of 14 and 18 who was forced into a spiritual marriage and forced to submit to sex with her husband or face losing her salvation. That's what she was told. That's what she was forced to do. That's part of the charges against this man, Warren Jeffs. And it's going to be a tough case. Tough case for the prosecution in Utah. Tougher case in Arizona as well. So we're going to continue to follow that. But it brings up a big issue here. First of all, what's the reaction here of polygamists in general? Because I don't know how many there are in this country. We'll find out shortly how many we believe there are in this country. But there are polygamists out there. And there's a bunch of people that believe it's legitimate, that there's a religious basis for it. And it's not just an excuse for old men to have sex with young girls, little girls, some underage girls. So let's speak with Mark Henkel right now. Let's bring him in. Our guest joins us. Not his first time on the show. And he's the founder of truthbearer.org, which is he's an advocate for
for the national. What's the name of your organization? Is it TruthBearer.org, Mark?
Yes, it is.
All right, I don't want to mess this up.
No, I appreciate that.
I want to get this right.
Thank you.
And you're a polygamy advocate. Is that what would that be?
Yes, right? I'm a national polygamy advocate around the country.
Okay. So explain to us, first of all, the reaction of polygamists around the country, the polygamists that you advocate for, to the capture of this man, Warren Jeffs. First of all, do you believe he should have been on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list?
Well, it's debatable in that, first of all, he was not on the FBI's list for anything about polygamy. It was a hype thing. If you read the charges at the FBI's own website, he was wanted by the FBI and on that top 10 list, for one count of a sexual assault with a minor, one count of conspiracy to commit sexual conduct with a minor in Arizona, and another count for rape as an accomplice in Utah. All three of those are individual crimes. It has nothing to do with polygamy.
Well, the actual charges are not polygamy.
Exactly.
I want to make that clear.
Absolutely. And just as you clarified about the Mormons, mainstream Mormons, saying that that these folks aren't Mormons, the identical clarification also has to be, or parallel clarification has to be made, is because they do use the Book of Mormon, they are what's called Mormon polygamists, and a specific brand of Mormon polygamists called FLDS, but there is all other kinds of forms of polygamists who have nothing to do with that application of polygamy that the FLDS do.
All right, so explain to us now, generally speaking, because I think when people think of polygamy and they think of why Warren Jeffs is wanted, is what was happening is that he had young girls, and the allegations here are this girl was between the ages of 14 and 18, all right? And she's underage, and she's being forced and told that, you know what, you're not going to be saved unless you have sex with this old guy, unless you enter into this spiritual marriage with this old guy.
Right, but that's the Mormon religious reason. It's not other reasons.
Right, and well, that's their religious reason.
And well, meaning there's other polygamists. For example, Christian polygamists do not believe the idea that your salvation is based on polygamy or any of that other idea that's a Mormon theological invention.
Okay. So how about this, though? How about this? And when people think of polygamy, and I don't know if they think this about Christians as well, but generally speaking, I think when people think of polygamy, the picture that comes in their mind, Mark Henkel, is, you know what, an older guy with one wife, then the next wife is younger, the next one is younger, and they keep getting younger and younger and younger, and it's sort of like an excuse for someone to be able to remain sexually active with younger women.
Well, I think that is just pure stereotype that people have in their own mind. Just you'd call it transference. What people think in their own minds isn't what is the reality.
What's the reality?
Well, what the reality is that you have to know what your adjective that modifies the noun. Mormon polygamy has a Mormon reason for it. Christian polygamy has a Christian reason for it. Muslim polygamy has a Muslim reason for it, and how they go about it. For example, in Christian polygamy, very often you'll find it's an abandoned single mom joins an existing family. And so you're talking about consenting adults, you're helping children thrive, you're helping women have options that wouldn't have otherwise, and we're talking about really caring about women. So you can't lump the word polygamy into all these various forms because they're all separate and different. And just because you have one example of that FLDS committing crimes doesn't mean normal consenting adult pro-polygamists with other applications, such as Christian polygamy, are associated with that. In fact, we're glad he's caught. We're glad Jeffs has been caught.
I think this is important. I think this is important because for those of you out there, and when I say you, I guess we may have some polygamists listening. If, in fact, you adhere to this lifestyle, you've got a guy like Warren Jeffs out there, he gives polygamy a bad name.
Absolutely he does.
And this is a guy who was the leader of this group and seemed to terrorize women and ostracize people for acting out if they didn't follow his beliefs, because he is the self-proclaimed prophet, right?
That's our understanding. And, you know, really, what you have here is not the issue of polygamy, but you have concerns. Now, I don't know. I haven't investigated personally into the level of culthood, if you will, of this group. But if you've got cult issues, then that's what you've got to go after. Polygamy is not the issue. Polygamy is a neutral word. It's how it's being applied, and abuse is abuse and needs to be prosecuted.
All right, so if we take a look at the polygamy community, everyone that's out there practicing this and practicing in different ways for different reasons.
Exactly. Very well put.
Let's divide it up. What percentage of these people would fall into, like, the Warren Jeffs category? And then what percent would fall into the Muslim category? And then what percent would fall into the Christian category? Do you have any idea what the numbers are out there?
Probably not, because really you've got... there are different for example, the difference between, say, a Mormon polygamy, and there are different Mormon polygamy groups, and there are some Mormon polygamy groups that oppose Warren Jeff's situations as well, that have different reasons their families come together. For example, in the FLDS, they did have this whole weird idea for the rest of us that, you know, assigning women and all that kind of business, and just that's just infathomable to, you know, a normal consenting pro-polygamists around the country, that, you know, that wives are somehow objects to be, you know, reassigned to different families. That's just inconceivable.
Yeah, didn't this guy think he inherited his father's wives?
Or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. When his dad, who's 98, kicked the bucket, this guy, you know, inherited like another 50 wives or something.
He did step in into his father's shoes in terms of leading that particular group. Again, the word itself is a neutral word. It's the application that you have to address. And whether, if there's an application of underage, well, then you go after the underage, but it's not polygamy that's the problem. If you've got arranged and reassigning, then you go after that. If it's cult mind control, then you go after that. But polygamy by itself is neutral. You've got normal consenting adults. You know, somebody sitting out in New Jersey, you know, with a family and normal going to work like everybody else.
New Jersey, you said?
Well, anywhere, sure.
Wow.
Anywhere, it doesn't matter, Washington State, Florida, Texas, I mean, anywhere around the country. We're talking about normal people going to regular work.
I get to know my neighbors a little bit. I got to know my neighbors. Let's listen to the man himself. These are the actual words of Warren Jeffs. Listen to this.
To be placed beside a good man. I hope you understand that very often a girl is given to a husband, after her own likeness. You should be praying that you will be prepared, that you will be given to a husband who will prove faithful to the end. Don't just be here. Don't just wait for something to happen. It is true you don't take these things into your own hands and date and seek out a husband. But the actions you must take are self-preparation.
And there he is, Warren Jeffs, talking about, and this is exactly what you're talking about, Mark, where women are given to their husbands. This isn't an idea of consent. This is an idea of, all right, here you go, take her.
Body parts or pieces on a chessboard moved around.
Crazy.
It is, and that's infathomable to normal consenting adult pro-polygamists around the country. That's just inconceivable. But see, this of course is sensationalized for media attention, and that's why it gets the folks, and that's what only perpetuates the misinformed stereotype that somehow this is what polygamy is about.
Explain this to us. How does it start? Like, say, you know, you're married, you've got one wife. You know, how does that conversation come up? Oh yeah, let's have another wife.
Well, it really doesn't work that way.
Well, how it works, that's what we're trying to figure out, because it's very foreign.
Well, and I understand that. Very often, it's a natural evolution of a relationship that's already developed.
Does it start with swinging?
No, absolutely not. This is not about fornication. It's not about, you know, fooling around, philandering, or anything of that nature. This is totally pro-marriage, pro-woman. Has nothing to do with it.
We're just trying to, you know, get rid of the stereotype.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are going to be thinking,
sure.
You know, we're over at this,
sure,
you know, hedonism, and we met mm-hmm. this great woman. And,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, it's, in all things, some individuals are more capable than others. For example, we have super athletes, certainly more capable of their athleticism than the average Joe, that kind of a thing,
Michael,
right?
Jordan.
Right, there you go. Exactly.
Tiger Woods.
Sure, absolutely. In their area, they excel. Well, the same thing is true of men with husband qualities. And when I say husband qualities, this isn't a chest pounding. This is caring about women. This is about encouraging and nurturing women and allowing her the freedom to be what she wants to be and help her and caring her and having that kind of an attitude towards women. And with that kind of a advanced level of husband quality, if you will, then a wife is already comfortable and confident in her marriage with her husband and already sees that there's no threat to the intimacy of her marriage. then a situation might happen where, as I'll defer to a number of examples that that we often see that are involve an abandoned single mom. A family will be friends with a struggling, abandoned single mom. She's struggling to raise her children. They'll be friends. Both the wives will be, the women will be friends. They'll develop over time. And just through the natural flow of increasing their friendship, it just says, you know, this might be a good idea. Then they investigate it. They find out that there's some normalcy out there, and especially Christians. They'll go out and that's where they'll find truthbearer.org, and they'll discover that this is one, a biblical thing, if that's an issue for them on their own religious basis, and then it'll evolve that way. So the point is, it's not about, you know, men going out trying to be predatory, but rather advanced level of husband-type men who really do care, their wives are confident and understand that there's no threat to their marriage, and that's how it evolves.
All right, so you just dropped the B word there, Mark. When we come back, we're going to talk about that, the Bible.
Okay.
What the Bible says about all this here on Court TV Morning, 866-378-2888 is the number. We're talking about polygamy. Mark Henkel is going to stay with us, national polygamy advocate and founder of truthbearer.org. This is Court TV Morning. I'm Vinny Pollack.
Hey, Mark.
Hey there.
Okay, you sound great. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes.
So okay.
Keep going for about another 10 or 15. That's okay.
Okay, that should be okay.
Great. Thanks very much.
Sure enough. Yep.
Once again, just want to remind you, you're going to be in commercial. I'm not going to hear anything, all right?
I understand.
Great. Thanks very much.
Sure.
You're listening to Court TV Morning with Vinny Politan. Only on Sirius 110.
Pick up a phone!
Call Vinny now at 866-378-CTTV.
Eyes on and do not reflect those of this station or its management.
Your First Amendment at work. You're listening to Court TV with Vinny Politan.
I don't give a damn what you think.
On Sirius 110.
110.
You never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever.
Many young men, when they receive their first wife, are just so untrained. The woman, if she's not careful, will be overbearing and always ask permission for what she wants. And ladies, build up your husband by being submissive. That's how you will give your children the success. You will want your children to be obedient and submissive to righteous living.
Be submissive. Those are the words of that creep, Warren Jeffs. Now in custody in Vegas. He'll be shipped out to Utah for his first trial. He'll be shipped down to Arizona for his second trial involving sexual assault, rape, all that sort of stuff, involving a girl who was somewhere between the ages of 14 and 18, arranging these relationships. And when I say relationships, I mean sex. So you know, look at this guy, Jones. He kind of looks like John Mark Carr a little bit, Warren Jeffs. Doesn't he have that look?
Definitely has that creepy look. Yeah
so, ew. And listen to his voice. Ew. Anyway, so we're talking about this guy, and we're talking about polygamy, and we're speaking with a guy who's not creepy. He's our friend, Mark Henkel, who is a national polygamy advocate and founder of truthbearer.org. You know, I don't think I ever asked you this, Mark. Are you yourself a polygamist? Or you don't answer that question?
I don't answer that question. That's right. Thank you.
That's what I figured.
Yes.
I mean, you can't answer that.
Well, especially in light of... this kind of sensationalized news that focuses on polygamy when the charges actually don't involve polygamy, you know, it associates us with things that we aren't, so we really have to be that much more careful until sensationalism stops being applied.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get to the facts here. That's our job here.
And we appreciate that.
Here at Court TV Morning, because we know there's... See, I'm a lawyer, so I know there's at least two sides to every story, and in most stories, there's like three, four, or five sides to it.
Sure.
So, now, before that break, you talked about the Bible.
Right.
Now, My guess is that you're a Christian, right?
Oh, absolutely. Evangelical. Conservative evangelical Christian.
Okay, and that's what truthbearer.org is all about. So where do you see the link between, because now I haven't seen it in the Bible myself, but you apparently have found it, where the Bible says that polygamy is the way, or is it a choice of a way?
It's, well, be it no wife, one wife, or more than one wife. It's, you know, that's really the... It is a free issue.
It's like a pro-choice kind of deal, whether you have a wife, don't have a wife, or have more than one wife.
Right.
And where exactly is that quote?
1 Corinthians 7:17. Well, actually, what it says is, and that's the marriage chapter, that says that what God hath distributed to every man, what the Lord hath given to everyone, so let him walk and so ordain I in all churches. And so the truth being, be it one wife, be it no wife, one wife, or more than one wife, it would only be as the Lord would call.
Okay.
You know,
so there you're getting the thumbs up.
In one aspect, it's more than that, because you've got super heroes in the Bible had more than one wife, and that much of the anti-polygamy doctrine that's invented from the Bible can't actually be founded there. For example, oftentimes you'll hear the use of the word, the phrase Adam and Eve, right?
Right.
Adam and Eve.
We didn't hear about Adam and Eve and Susan.
Right. Okay, well, there's three. Right. Now, there's three reasons why that passage can't be used to justify, for example, a marriage amendment that says one man, one woman. The first is you don't know that because Adam and Eve's sons, Seth and Cain, because Abel got killed by Cain, had wives. Where did those wives come from? Were they born of Eve, or were they born of some other wife? We don't know, and we're not laying a doctrine to say either way, but the point is that it's only speculation. You can't say it's a hard and fast rule that there was only one Eve. Two, there was never an example of a wedding or any government involved in Adam and Eve's marriage. So if you're going to say government should be defining marriage, or Adam and Eve is your example, they never had government, they never had a wedding, there never was any kind of formal process that defining their marriage. And third, this is really the critical fact. The story of Adam and Eve is written in the book of Genesis. And the book of Genesis, along with the other four, totally all five, first five books of the Bible, were written by Moses. And Moses, according to the Bible itself, had two wives. Moses knew what he meant.
At the same time?
Absolutely. Yes. They are two different, completely women. In fact, actually, when his sister opposed it in Numbers 12, she's the one who had to be put out of the camp for leprosy for 7 days.
Wow.
So the key is Moses himself, who gave us the Adam and Eve story, who gave us the Genesis 2:24, the two shall be one flesh, he was one flesh with each of his two wives, one being the Midianite woman and the other one being the Cushite woman.
All right, we're talking about polygamy. Mark Henkel, a national polygamy advocate, founder of truthbearer.org, joins us on the line. Taking your calls now, folks. 866-378-CTTV. That's 866-378-2888. Carlos in Indiana. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning. How you doing, Vinny?
Good. You're on with me and Mark Henkel. What do you think of all this?
Well, two quick points in rebuttal. First of all, in the gospel, Jesus himself says that a husband and a man and woman are joined, and the two shall become one flesh. He doesn't mention a third party. And number two, another point on rebuttal, obviously, is the marriage covenant between a man and a woman is supposed to reflect, as Corinthians says, the love between Christ and his church. And there is, again, there isn't a third party there. But aside from the religious point of view, or the religious arguments for and against polygamy, if you will, there's also an important state interest here. Obviously, if a man has a couple different wives, that calls into question legitimacy because, you know, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to make sure you get DNA tests for all the different wives and children? Because obviously, a common law, a child born of a marriage is considered to be legitimate. There's a presumption there. Secondly, you know, it is very difficult for a lot of people to support one wife, much less, you know, and children, much less several. If that's that being the case, if someone finds a religious reason to have, for example, three wives, and yet he can't financially support them, and yet he still has children with them, those wives and that person might go to looking towards for state help. And, you know, that just drains state coffers from people that really deserve and need that help. So there's important state interest here that I think your guest is ignoring.
All right, Carlos, so let's let Mark Henkel respond to that. And Carlos, thanks so much for giving us a call. Always great to hear from you, 866-378-2888. How about that, Mark?
Great. Well, he hit a number of issues. The first thing about Jesus saying the two shall be one flesh is Matthew. Jesus is in Matthew 19 re-quoting Genesis 2:24 from Moses, exactly what I just said a moment ago. The two shall be one flesh. That's correct. Just as each Christian is one spirit with the one Lord Jesus Christ, wives can be one flesh. A husband is one flesh with each of his wives. Moses was one flesh with each of his two wives. Jesus was just re-quoting the polygamous Moses who wrote Genesis 2:24, the one flesh verse. And also, the example that should be as Christ in his churches, that's correct. That's Ephesians 5:22-25. And you go to Matthew 25, the parable of the five wise virgins. Jesus Christ himself is describing himself as the polygamous bridegroom coming to marry five wise virgins to be his bride to live with him forever. So he's right about that, but it's not a one-on-one. It's Christ and his churches, and the same model follows. So now as for the state interest, DNA tests would only be necessary in the issues of polyandry, but one man with multiple wives, the DNA is obvious. There is no question about that. And as for the difficult to support one wife, that is actually has it backwards. For example, there's families in our organization at truthbearer.org, for example, one where they were in a very poor situation, both the family as well as the abandoned single mom. Well, they came together. They decided one was going to stay home and watch the children while the other went to school. They did that. Then once the education was obtained, they switched, and then both of them got education. Now they're able to make income they never would have been able to make. Education never would have
much
been able to have
the
had.
That they were polygamous.
Because they were all together, working together. Exactly.
Interesting. Kenny in Pennsylvania joins us. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Vinny. How you doing?
Good.
That's good. Hey, Vinny, I just got to say one thing.
Go ahead.
I don't understand how these guys can have more than one wife anyhow. Heck, I got enough trouble with the one I got, let alone have two or three.
Kenny, thank
you. Come on, Benny. That's all I wanted to say, buddy.
Thanks, Kenny. How about that, Mark? You know what? On a final note, Mark, how can you, though? I mean, it's tough enough for two people to see eye to eye on something. How do three people see eye to eye to eye to eye?
Well, it is difficult, and this is why it requires greater maturity. It goes back to that example I used about how some men are super athletes and super skilled.
Well, you mean super women, too, though.
Well,
able to open themselves up and share because, you know, some women can be jealous and possessive, Mark.
Well, this is true, and certainly that's why it requires a maturity in the personal dynamics of everybody. That's true. There's no question about it, but the point is that it because the dynamics are not multiplied but actually geometric, you truly have to be mature and capable and really, and from a man's standpoint, a pro-woman, caring, nurturing kind of good husband qualities at the super level.
All right, Mark Henkel, national polygamy advocate, founder of truthbearer.org. Thanks for joining us this morning. Always appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Right, take care. This is Court TV Morning, Sirius 110. I'm Vinny Politano. I mean, he raises a lot.
Hey, Mark. Thanks again.
Super. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, Mark.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Mark Henkel is national polygamy advocate, presented polygamy to the public since 1994. National. PolygamyAdvocate.com